So anyway, that ended the cookware business there.
Right.
And so then I went on to work, and I went to work at, wanted to learn the livestock business, you know, from a practical standpoint. So I got a job with Jarbo Commission Company at Tulsa Stockyards. And as a wayboy, and a wayboy at the stockyards, what happens is when they come in, John Erling, he sends 12 black calves into the stockyards, and Harry Jones, he sends 50 black calves, and Bill Smith sends two old cows that they're going to slaughter. And they make a ticket, drive-in ticket. So all this is separate. My job then was to take those cattle out of the pens, keep them all separate as far as ownership, but they'd all be commingled. There'd be 30, 40, 50 of them in one bunch with maybe 15 or 20 different owners. And you had to keep all that separate when you got to the scales. And you had to tell who it went to and who the shipper was. And, of course, they made a scale ticket like that. And that's when I really began to appreciate what other people do, because I thought being a wayboy at the stockyards would be a very simple thing to learn. But you have to be very intelligent and on your toes to keep 25 different owners on 50 or 60 cattle all mingled together, a lot of them the same color, the same sex. So it made me have a lot more respect for what somebody does that you think is not a skilled job.
But here, your family, your father was in the banking business?
Yeah.
That didn't seem to interest you, apparently. You could have gone as work as a teller.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that.
Yeah, he was never actively a banker. He was a stockholder.
Okay.
Banker. And he was later, you know, president of the bank. Okay. The president of the bank then wasn't necessarily active. He was on the board.
All right.
And in the management of it, but not in every day.
All right. So it was investment, yeah. But even yeah. So, but you were attracted to cattle and ranching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I worked there for 6 or 8 months, and then an opportunity came up here. They had an ice and cold storage plant here in town, and my dad helped me buy that. It was Leitner Ice and Cold Storage.
Okay, tell us, for generations who don't know, because this was in a time when we didn't really have refrigerators,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So what about this ice? How would you sell this ice, and who would you sell it to?
Well, what we did then, we had a 18-ton block ice plant. We produced 18 tons of block ice a day, and the blocks of ice were 300 pounds. And then we put in a 10-ton shell ice maker, which made crushed ice. And we distributed that to three wholesale dealers, one in Locust Grove, one in Chelsea, and one in Catoosa, on the block ice. Then we started merchandising the crushed ice, and we put out individual, like you see in a convenience store now, where you go and buy a bag of ice, those kind of containers, refrigerated units. Mm-hmm. And we put, probably 30 or 40 of those out. And so we would deliver our product to these wholesalers that in turn sold to construction companies and fishermen and so on in these three different towns. Then this other was out of the retail business. Yeah. So anyway, that's what it was. It was, and we sold beer. They were doing $36,000 a year, and we turned around and in about 2 years, we're doing $240,000 a year in volume. And the way we did that is that we put a slaughterhouse in the back, and so we custom slaughtered hogs and cattle, and we cured hams and bacons, processed meat for people. We went out in the country and slaughtered cattle and hogs, and or cattle mainly, and brought them in and finished them up there.
So you were in the butchering business?
Yeah, we were butchering.
Ice and butchering.
Ice and butchering, and then we had lockers there. We had 550 lockers. And the lockers were, of course, just zero storage units, and people would go in and we'd process their meat and put it in a locker for them and lease them a locker. And we'd come to this central point to get their product out, because then they didn't have home freezers. So then later on, what we did for a marketing, we took the phone book and did a complete survey. Everybody had a home freezer. And then we started an advertising program, what our products were to those people that had storage at home. We bought beef from Dugdale Packing Company in St. Joe, Missouri. And we got in the frozen food business, and then we started selling a home freezer plant with meat and frozen foods.
I didn't ask you, what your major in college, what was it?
Animal science.
Okay, you did ask.
Yeah.
Okay, but you had this bent for business.
Yeah.
You had a business mind.
Well, I suppose, but one thing, one point I really want to make is that when I got out of the animal science school in Stillwater, Oklahoma, I didn't have any accounting and I didn't have any finance. And when I got in a retail business, I didn't know come here from Sikkim as far as the accounting and that part of it went. You know, I knew that what I had to do was some basics as far as markup goes and all. So what I had to do to augment my education is, first thing I did, I hired some real smart people, smarter than I was, which is what you need to do all through life. And I hired Una Dean, who had had her leg almost cut off in an automobile accident. She was a bookkeeper at the Federal Savings and Loan here, and they let her go because it took her too long to recover. So I hired her, and she was still on crutches, to come down and set up my books for me. Then I hired a fellow named Tommy Duncan from Tulsa that had run a company over there for Mr. Rogers on 15th Street, very successful, to come help me in the processing and the curing the hams and bacons and in the beef end of it. But what I really needed, I went up to which was then Oklahoma Military Academy, which now is Rogers State University, and I took two accounting courses up there to give me the education, because an animal science degree at OSU, it teaches you how. You know, how to do is fine, but whether it's profitable or not is the secret. If you know how to do it well, it doesn't make any difference if it's not profitable. And still today, they don't require accounting and finance in the animal science school, and I have done everything I could possibly do to try to influence that. They have it as an elective, but they don't have it as a required. And the veterinarians that get out of veterinary school at OSU, they've got no accounting or finance. They're business people.
Yep.
They're business people without the tools to make them successful.
Yep.
Business people.
Yep.